What was the tagline for that last one? What was that too?
Ace Ventura.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
Because I Googled it and I couldn't come up. The only thing that popped up was he's the best there is at what he does.
Wolverine.
Well, no, that was a tagline for Wanted Dead or Alive, starring Rutger Hauer. Oh, I thought, God. Oh, that would kind of make sense.
Yeah, no, it was Ace Ventura. And the one before that was Kings of Summer.
Yeah, I did know that.
I'll just use that as the cold open for this episode.
What?
Just telling everybody what the tagline contest is
for 3 weeks from now.
This is Deep Star 6, so yeah. Right, so fucking listen up. And it's like, we'll know if they're cheating because the emails will come in like before those episodes get posted. So it's like, wait a minute.
What's up? This is Movies On Up. It will leave you gasping for air. I am Dave, joined by my co-host, Ryan.
I was breathlessly awaiting that introduction.
Yeah, and I had nothing.
Gotcha.
We are Ryan and Dave. Our tagline, it will leave you gasping for air. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or Twitter @moviesonup. If you are right and we pick you, you win a glorious Movies On Up prize package. We are deep into November. October, we're not quite surfacing in November yet, but we're deep in October. Earlier this week, we had our favorite female killers, and one of our number ones was directed by Sean S. Cunningham, who did not go on to do much else of note after that. We're doing one of those movies, which is not of note, pretty much, but it's one of my all-time favorites, Deep Star 6. If you've listened to Movies On Up any time in the last few years since we've started, I've probably shoehorned Deep Star 6 into more episodes than necessary. I've mentioned it quite often because I legitimately like this movie. I don't want to talk too much about it now. We're going to do some box office talk like we do in these. And Ryan, refrain from opinionizing during this part because then I want to get into the movie. And we haven't discussed your thoughts on it yet.
Yeah, I think
so,
I've done a pretty good job of, over the past 2.5 hours we've been together, not really saying much one way or the other. But I will say that, in fact, this movie was directed by Sean S. Cunningham. It starred Nancy Everhard, Greg Evigan, and Miguel Ferrer. It opened number 8 in the box office January 13th, 1989, with $3.3 million. Number 1, 2, 3. That weekend, pretty strong. Rain Man, Twins, and Beaches. This movie,
two of them, aquatic themes: beaches and rain.
Rain Man is definitely
hot water burn baby.
Right,
that's aquatic.
That's true.
Sea monster eat man.
Aquatic themed film. Beaches may have been. I might have liked it better if there was a sea monster in it.
About waterworks.
Yeah, a lot of that. But now you know my feelings on beaches. This movie went on to gross a total of $8.14 million, which is deep on the all-time charts at 4,390 all-time. It is sandwiched between two movies that I have never heard of in my life. One of them also from 1989 and the other from 1990. The one from 1989 is directly above this film at 4,389.
It's a movie you've never heard of?
That's correct.
Then I'm not even going to take a stab at it.
It's called Cheetah.
Yeah, I don't know what Cheetah is.
Okay. And right below it at 4,391 from 1990 is Funny About Love.
That's a Streisand movie, isn't it?
I don't know. As I said, I have never heard of it in my life.
Gene Wilder movie. And
fair
Christine
enough.
Lottie.
I can see, or you could get Barbara Streisand and Gene Wilder's hair confused because
yeah.
I think they go to the same stylist. As I am apt to do from time to time, I will search the list for movies right around there just to give you kind of an idea of maybe a movie that was really good that just happened to rank there as well. And there were two movies, one of which Dave likes an awful lot and one of which neither of us have seen and probably won't see anytime soon. And they were both not too far off this one. 4,398 is a 2009 post-apocalyptic movie, which you love, based off a book.
The Road?
It is The Road. Very good. And 4,399 is a Julie Delpy, Ethan Hawke movie.
That I don't care about.
Yeah, right, Before Midnight. So those two movies, both less successful in the box office than Deep Star 6.
What was total box office for Deep Star 6?
Just over $8 million.
Okay, its budget was $8 million.
Well, there you go. It was profitable.
We're in the money.
Yeah, and say what you want. Sean S. Cunningham went on to produce an awful lot of films, and most of them had a certain hockey mask-wearing killer in them.
And he was supposed to just produce this movie. He's the one that got it going. Robert Harmon was on to direct. And then once he left, Cunningham just stepped in. So this was going to be one of those Cunningham-produced movies.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at things he directed. Deep Star 6 in 89. Then he directed Extreme Close-Up in 2001. So he really kind of took a little bit of a break, so to speak.
I mean, once you hit perfection, there's nowhere to go but up.
With?
So might as well take 12 years off.
Oh, yeah, okay, you mean perfection with Deep Star 6. I understand.
This movie was weird because we talked about, okay, Deep Impact and Armageddon, two comet movies.
Dante's Peak.
Volcano, Dante's Peak, Lake Placid, and...
the other one.
Yeah, I forget, what, Rogue or something. This kicked off 1989.
Gremlins, Ghoulies.
Yeah, Gremlins, Ghoulies, Munchies, Hobgoblins. Yeah. Just in 1989 alone, you had this releasing in January, so this kind of kicked it off. This was the first one to come out. A few months later, you had Leviathan, The Evil Below, Lords of the Deep, The Rift, and The Abyss. All underwater movies facing underwater foes within 1 year of each other. None of them were very successful. Many times this is accused of being a ripoff of Leviathan or The Abyss. When they come out that close together, nobody's ripping off anything.
I think that Lewis Abernathy, the guy that wrote the story for Deep Star 6, was pretty good friends with James Cameron before. I think Cameron had actually asked him to delay this movie, to not come out in 1989, the same year as The Abyss. And when he didn't, that kind of fractured the friendship for a while. I mean, they have patched up since then. I believe Abernathy was with him when he did the dives down to the Titanic. So I guess they're besties again, but they deep-sixed the relationship.
I mean, everybody knew it was coming, and Cunningham, as producer, wanted to be the first one. That's why this was a January release, but they know about Leviathan and The Abyss coming out. But again, when you're that close, you're not ripping each other off. White House Down didn't rip off Olympus Has Fallen. Like, they just happen to be...
different tone movies as well.
Yeah, and I mean, Leviathan and Deep Star 6, yeah, there's a lot of comparisons there. But, you know, if you Google Deep Star 6, it didn't get received very well box office-wise or critically. And as time's gone on, it's not a well-loved movie. It's not a movie that's spoken very highly of, except by me. Just fair warning, when we get to talking about the movie, I'm going to compare it to some of my favorite movies. I mean, I think there's elements that the same reason I love this movie are a lot of the same elements that I love, you know, Sunshine or Alien or The Thing. Like, it shares a lot of common traits in there. Ryan, as somebody who, you know, you haven't seen this movie, but for 2 years you've heard me talk about how much I love it. And ultimately, you're the one that decides. I mean, for over a year, you've been wanting to do a Deep Star 6 episode. So we're finally here. And I mean, generally, we try to do movies that most people have seen or that are easy to find.
This one was not easy.
No, we had to order it off Amazon. So
we had to go treasure hunting for it.
So prize pack got two new entries.
A couple people are getting copies of Deep Star 6.
Or one person is getting two copies of Deep Star 6. But
Deep Star 12.
Like, we generally try to find movies that are easy to find, but something about this movie I've always loved. Maybe it hasn't made sense to me, the hatred it sees, because I read the reviews and I read the critiques, and I really only disagree with one of them. So Ryan, as somebody who just watched the movie for the first time ever, I think it's an underrated gem. Like, I think there's a lot of good qualities about a great movie in here, especially a great horror movie. Am I wrong?
I made some notes on the movie. I actually thought I had seen it, and I'm sure a little bit of that had to do with just listening to you talk about it as much as you tend to. Maybe that made me feel like I had seen it. And I know I mentioned in the movies that Scaris is a child. A large part of my childhood movie experiences are walking up and down the aisles of movie stores and seeing all the boxes, not necessarily being able to read what the titles are, but just seeing the boxes. And the cover art for Deep Star 6, the poster I'm looking at, is very iconic. It has stuck with
me. Should be. Right. Yeah.
So that made me think that I had seen it as well. But when I got the movie, I popped it in last Friday night. That's how I spent my Friday night, was watching Deep Star 6 and eating cold pizza. I made a handful of notes, knowing the whole time that I was going to really make you drive this episode. I really didn't give my opinion of the movie until, like, actually the last little paragraph that I wrote here. And I'll read you the first line. This movie sucks dick. That is about what I think of Deep Star 6. I think it's awful. I'll tell you why I don't particularly care for it, why I think that it, in fact, sucks dick. I said a lot in Pet Sematary, or I will say a lot, spoiler alert, stick around for that next week, about how I think that that movie is kind of slow to get to where it's going to go. And Deep Star 6 is an underwater monster movie wherein the underwater monster really doesn't start causing havoc, significant havoc to the crew, until the last third of the movie. If I'm being generous, I didn't really care for the creature design. I thought it looked like man in the suit. I don't want to get into a laundry list, but I guess my biggest problem with the movie is definitely the pacing of it. I feel like for a monster movie, I know the movie's called Deep Star 6, so we see a lot of the Deep Star 6, but we don't see a lot of the monster. And that, not that it needs to be monster, 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 but I think we talked about, like, Jurassic Park, how you can buy yourself some time in the beginning by showing that eye of the raptor, and then that kind of, it satiates you for a while, and you can kind of get into your character building and your story elements. This movie doesn't really even give you the dinosaur eyeball. It just starts right in with the character building and gets to the monster way too late, after I've already decided that I hate the movie.
And I think that's one of the reasons I like it. I like that you have this crew that's been on a submarine for 6 months together. So, like it or not, you're like a family. And I feel like it does a great job establishing that. You have, you know, Miguel Ferrer, who you like just because you have to. Because if you don't like him, it's going to be a long 6 months. Oh, I bet she's going to want us to take stills next. And then she comes on and says, oh, and get some stills while you're at it. Like, you have that relationship. And I like that. My favorite horror movies do that, because watching somebody I don't care about get killed does nothing for me. When you build up the character and it's not just victim A,
they're not throwaway characters.
They're not throwaway characters. And this is where I compare it a lot to Sunshine. Is Sunshine, you have all your characters and you get to know them very well. And when they die, it's impactful. You don't know just the character. You know what their role is, and you know how important they are to everything. So you know their role. Deep Star 6 does that a lot. I mean, it's a larger scale. There's more people.
I mean, I would argue that in some instances, you know their roles. And you know, like, when the captain dies, okay, that's the captain.
Yeah.
You get that, and now there's kind of the second in command.
But
I understand all that, but, you know, the first couple guys that bite it in the sub, they're just dudes.
More scientists. I mean, it's a weird dynamic because you have, like, a contracting crew that's down there for research. And then you have some
Navy SEALs,
some Navy people down there that, because the Navy contracted them while they were down there to hide a nuke. So, I mean, it's a weird mix of people, but you get that these people have been together for 6 months. I think that's built up really good. And I like the deaths in it. I think the captain's death is super impactful, because the captain is built up as, that's the man that's going to get you through anything. You know, this guy has it all at home. He's got the wife, the kids, like, the My Two Dads guy, what's it, Greg Evigan, he's been on this boat for 6 months, and, hey, what's the first thing you're going to do when you get home? I'm going to spend some time with Captain and his family. Like, he's the kind of guy that you're trapped with for 6 months, but you want to spend more time with. And I can't pronounce it, Lavrek Black, I think is his name.
Torian Black.
Torian Black.
Yeah.
Plays the captain, and I think he does it very well. He's a likable guy. I want to follow this guy into anything. And his death just kind of happens. Like, we're not even at the monster yet.
Right. And I guess that's the problem that I have, is you have his character dies, and that other sort of scientist,
the other guy's already dead at this point.
Yeah, the Russian guy.
Yeah.
sure, I guess technically the monster has caused that. He's set it in motion.
Yeah.
Set in motion that string of events, but it just takes an awful long time. I think you could have the monster kill the captain directly and have it be just as impactful.
I like the self-sacrifice about it.
I think you could still do all that, but have a monster in there.
See, and I guess I like the characters. I'm drawn to the characters and to the relationship between them. So maybe that's why it being a slow burn doesn't matter to me, because I do like the characters. And I read complaints about the dialogue and the acting, and I don't see it. Maybe this movie's so envisioned in my brain as a great movie that I'm overlooking stuff. But I like the characters.
The acting's really not that bad. I mean,
especially Miguel Fuhrer.
Yeah, he was really good as the heel, I guess, for lack of a better word. You said you like him because you have to, because you're stuck with him.
I mean,
for
the
six
characters.
No, you're right, and that's an excellent point.
And he does everything. He's
the maintenance guy.
He's the maintenance guy. So Snyder, fix this. Snyder, fix that. Like, you get his sense. So
yeah, I understood his role, and I understood him as a guy that really doesn't want to be down there. He's maybe starting to even crack a little bit before the monster shows up. I think that watching him kind of unravel is really pretty good, and by and large you don't see an awful lot of the monster, so you do see him a lot, and you get to see him break down and become as really destructive as the monster was. And I mean, I did think that was a high point in the movie,
and that's, you're bringing up two more points of why I like it. I mentioned it on the Thing episode a couple weeks ago that, you know, with the Thing, it's scary because it's atmospheric. You know, you're not just going to run down the highway and have a trucker come save you. The Thing, you're trapped in Antarctica. Alien, you're trapped in space. Here, you're under, there's nobody that can come save you. You have to win or get away. That's it. Those are your only two options. So I like the atmosphere of it. And I like that the monster isn't necessarily the main threat. Like, when you look to the first few deaths, like, okay, this, the scientist, he died because it wrecked. Like, yeah, the monster caused it to wreck, but he sustained injuries as he died. The captain trying to save that ship, the hatch falls on him. So he's dying. The doctor guy, Miguel Fuhrer, stabs him and his heart explodes. So, I mean, here we're five bodies deep, and the monster's killed two of them.
He killed that other, the supposed hot chick.
The hot chick. I think
and
she
the,
was,
the deep sea diver.
Yeah, those are the two.
And the two guys in the submarine. Like at the
Yeah.
Those guys that like,
died off screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, okay, so it's 4-3 monster, man. And by the end, it's like 5-3. But there's other elements at stake here. Like Miguel Fuhrer killed himself.
Yeah, I would say 5-4. I would say man killed himself. So I'm going to give him credit for that.
Yeah, I wasn't counting him. So 5-4. So, yeah. I like that about movies like Sunshine, where the mission isn't what you have to fear the most. Man is what you have to fear the most. 28 Days Later, the infected aren't what you have to fear. Man is what you have to fear. So it brings that element. I guess this is just a mishmash of a bunch of elements I like from other movies thrown together in one movie that I saw when I was young and impressionable, and it's just stuck with me.
The idea of, especially being in the ocean as deep as they were, like, you know, you have to decompress. You can't just get out. Ask Snyder what happens. And that does translate to Alien, where it's not like you can just find a car that works and drive somewhere where there's a police station. Like, I get that. But maybe there's a mishmash of several good ideas, but I don't think any of them were executed particularly well. Some of the things that I do like, you mentioned it with the shark dart. I think there are some cool deaths.
Matt McCoy's death. McCoy, I really liked his character.
They go out of their way to make sure you like him.
He's like a poor man's Dean Cameron, because every time I see him, I just want to call him Chainsaw, even though he didn't play Chainsaw in Summer School. Dean Cameron did. But Matt McCoy, if you've seen an 80s movie, you'd recognize
that mullet.
Yeah, you'd recognize Matt McCoy. He's a likable guy, real likable. And his death is awesome. Like, that's where I feel the film falters a little bit, is that some of the deaths, I think they're great, but I feel like they might be rushed. The captain, I feel like that needed a little bit more.
It had its time,
but like, the shot of Matt McCoy coming up and the sea monster coming up and biting the bottom half of, that scene is kind of rushed and it's kind of a mess. Where I feel like it needed to be more more solid. Like, you needed to see it more.
You need to actually see the monster bite him instead of, like, here it comes out of the water.
Yes, now he's half body.
Cut to, yeah.
Miguel Freer, I feel like you have this chance to make it really graphic, and you kind of cop out. But, I mean, it's still a cool death scene. The heart thing, the shark dart was awesome, yeah. I think. But, like, I feel like some of that stuff was rushed. But what really, really hurts the movie the most, terrible creature design.
Yeah.
Terrible. I mean, we talked in the Thing episode about how much better that movie is because of the practical effects. We talked about how in Gremlins, how meaningful those Gremlins are because they're puppets. And a modern-day Gremlins with CGI would lose that heart. This is all practical effects.
And the shark dart was cool.
The shark dart was cool, yeah.
Yeah.
The creature design is weak. I don't know what that's supposed to be. It's not so much scary as it is like, what the hell is that? It doesn't have this menacing look. It's got tentacles. The creature design lacked. And then especially at the end when it comes out of the water and you get a better look at it, it's just...
Like Jason. I mean, you can, yes. Absolutely, you can absolutely see that one coming. It's like...
Same thing happens in the Leviathan. That's how Ernie Hudson dies.
Yeah.
Like, spoiler Ernie Hudson alert. Makes it to the end and... Yes, we're fucking spoiling Leviathan in the Deep Star 6 episode. I don't give a shit.
Well, maybe people didn't know. Yeah. They signed on to have Deep Star 6 spoiled and not Leviathan.
We record Pet Sematary episode next week, and I'll probably ask you about whether it needs a remake or not.
And I'll probably say that I don't think it does.
I feel like Deep Star 6 is the kind of movie that they need to be remaking. Friday the 13th, people know that. People love it. Nightmare on Elm Street, they're taking all these popular properties and just making them worse instead of taking
bad movies and doing them right the second time.
Yes, taking, you say it sucks dick.
I do.
You can't tell me that there isn't promise there. There's not promise in the underwater monster movie.
If there's promise, and there's been some great space monster movies, there's
exactly.
No reason that you couldn't have.
Like,
a
for
great...
somebody that loves Alien as much as you do, yeah. You can't tell me that you are just anti-underwater monster movie.
I like Leviathan.
See, I don't. I just.
I think the cast is much better.
I like Ernie Hudson, but I
Peter
don't like
Weller him. Is great. I don't particularly care for The Abyss. I'll say that.
I don't like The Abyss. I don't remember the others, The Rift and whatever.
Yeah,
I mean, I like Leviathan enough because that's during my Ghostbuster days when I wanted to watch any of the Ghostbusters and anything. So I liked that movie because of Ernie
Winston.
Hudson. You know, I have more memories of Deep Star 6. Like, I have memories of Leviathan, but not as strong as Deep Star 6. I feel like its moments are better. I feel like its deaths are better. It's the moments it has to hit, I feel like it does better. And I realize I'm on an island by myself.
No, you're not on an island. That island has sunk and you are at the bottom of the sea with it.
Yeah, but I feel like this movie is the kind of movie that would benefit from a remake. That
yeah,
you
I
have the
right.
idea there. And as much as I love it, yeah, there's some execution problems. Just watching it, like in my little head, I'm thinking like, you can modernize it, and just extra scenes. Like the scene with the Matt McQuaid getting bit in half, like that should be better. The monster design specifically needs redone.
That needs some work.
Yeah, and you know the defibrillator was cool.
I thought it made sense with her being a doctor,
like,
where they were
cool
stuck.
Stuff
yeah,
in it.
I liked that. But in the Godzilla episode, we were pissed off when the movie decided that it wasn't Godzilla anymore and it was Baby Godzilla's. But then at least Godzilla showed back up at the end. I mean, this being an underwater monster movie, you don't get a lot of underwater monster action until sort of the very end. And then at that point, it's a lot of monster, and that's fine. I just felt like it was a little too late. Now, maybe that's absolutely something that could be adjusted in a possible remake, because I think you do have enough
groundwork is there.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Here is where the disconnect may lie. Is you went into it, and maybe imagine if you went
into it. I did not think that it was going to be the greatest movie I ever saw.
No, and I understand.
I did not have my expectations that high.
I understand that, but you went into it expecting an underwater monster movie.
Yes.
If you were expecting an underwater horror movie, I think your dynamic changes a little bit how you watch it, because it is a slow burn. Much like if you go into The Descent thinking an underground monster movie, you might be disappointed for the first hour or so, but underground horror movie, it delivers almost instantly. So, I mean, maybe it's just you go into this expecting a monster movie, and it is, but Jaws is a classic. How much is Jaws actually on screen?
That's the thing. Like, with Jaws, I mean, even with Alien, the first one, I mean, it takes a while to actually see the alien, and they don't really go full body with it an awful lot, but you don't need to, because I think that there are other things that can be done in a movie to really make you scared shitless. But I think, especially underwater, you knew that until the fella gets bit in half, the monster's not in there with them. You know that they're relatively safe, and they're relatively safe
without a way home, though.
They had a way home. All they had to do was depressurize. That's why the mullet went outside anyway. Everybody relatively safe. And I guess that's kind of where I didn't really care about it, because until, you know, that dude goes outside, then at that point he's entering the monster's realm, and yeah, he's at risk. Really, everybody else up until that point, not really at risk. And that's kind of why I felt like there wasn't, I didn't have anything invested in the movie at that point. Because I was like, well, they're going to be fine. Until they do something stupid that allows the monster in, they're going to be fine. And I just felt like it took too long to get to the point where I thought, oh, this guy might not be all right.
And then even when it gets in, it's in the one.
They lock it in a room, and it stays there until it's like, all right, well, we have to do something to let it out so that we can go back.
And I think that's one of my...
Kind of contrived, it felt.
That's one of my main changes I would like in a remake, is that it's got to get loose in the sub.
Yeah.
That's what Leviathan had going for it. It could be anywhere. Mm-hmm. I love the movie. It's one of those that I don't even call it a guilty pleasure, because I legitimately love it. I've compared it to a half dozen
movies.
Classic movies. And I mean, I'm not doing it ironically. Like, I legitimately love this movie. I don't love it ironically. I don't love it to be different. I legitimately love this movie. And, you know, this is the second time in the last 3 or 4 years that I've rewatched it, because I like it. Like, when I made Aaron rewatch it with me a few years ago.
Was she angry?
She didn't like it.
Yeah, I was angry. It was my idea, I know. And as I'm watching it, I'm going, oh, son of a bitch. I could have picked anything else that I could have been watching on this Friday night.
But you gotta admit, there's nuggets there of goodness.
There are a couple nuggets. Yeah, you're right. I was hoping for a bit more than a nugget or two of things. I was like, yeah, all right. Okay.
I mean, I unabashedly love this movie.
There's the bad guy from RoboCop.
Yeah, McWelfer, right. I thought was good. Grave Evigan. Stacey Keenan, side note, grew up way hotter than imagined. From My Two Dads.
Oh, I was like, who the hell is that?
Goodness. Nia Peebles, I thought was good. Matt McCoy. I mean, this is a good 80s cast. This was the end of the 80s. But Nancy Everhard, Evigan, Fuhrer, Peebles, McCoy were all recognizable, like, 80s actors.
I'm just telling you, it's no Peter Weller, Richard Crenna, Daniel Stern, Ernie Hudson, Meg Foster. We'll let that one go.
Oh, she was such a bee in that movie.
Yeah, she was.
I did like Leviathan. I did, but maybe I've talked myself out of liking Leviathan just to try to justify my Deep Star 6 love.
Not that Leviathan's great.
I enjoy
them
both.
I'm not trying to say that.
I enjoy Deep Star 6 a lot more. That's not hyperbole at all. I enjoy Deep Star 6 a lot more. I like the story. I like the characters. I like the execution a lot more than Leviathan.
I'm going to have to go back and rewatch Leviathan.
Maybe next October we'll do Leviathan.
Yeah, that's true. We'll wash the stink
but
Deep Star 6 off me.
I liked it, and I'm not going to apologize for it. Maybe it's a little out there horror movie. Like, we've done, you know, Gremlins, The Thing. We're doing Pet Sematary next week, which I think are all pretty big-time horror movies. So Deep Star 6 might be a little...
Off the beaten path.
Off the beaten path, because even last year we did Trick or Treat, Behind the Mask. You know, we talked about Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th. So.
God, those were so good.
Yeah, so...
what have we done?
I don't regret it, because I do love this movie. If you haven't, I mean, if you just now watched it, let us know. Am I wrong? I know at least one listener that loves this movie like I do. So email us. Let us know your thoughts. MoviesOnUp@gmail.com, Facebook.com/MoviesOnUp, Twitter @MoviesOnUp. Let us know if you've watched Deep Star 6. I'm sure we spoiled it for you, and we spoiled Leviathan.
You spoiled Leviathan.
You were there in the room with me.
I was complicit.
I would spoil the end of Abyss, but I don't think I've seen it. Cocoon, they're old.
They get to the surface.
Yeah. So that's our Deep Star 6 episode. Next week, we're back with...
Favorite Stephen King movies and the aforementioned
Pet Sematary. October's big for us. I love our Octobers. It's the only time we both agree that we're going to do 2 episodes in a week. And yeah, it took a lot of work.
And when one of them's deep started six, you immediately wish we hadn't done two.
I don't. I'm glad. I want to do it again next year. I want you to wait a year, rewatch it, and then tell me how much your thoughts have changed. Hit us up the ways I said. Let us know how you like our October. Anything. We'll take any input right now. Just drop by and say hi in any of those ways. We like hearing from you. But we'll be back next week with a very Stephen King week to end October. And then we head right into November with some cool episodes planned-ish.
In a form of planning. But until next week.
Keep it up.